Morning, Alexander.
Hey, we're holding on Peyum and Beis at the beginning of the Gemara after the long Mishnah. The Mishnah itself actually was mostly in Yevamos as well. So the Gemara is not really dealing with the ins and outs of the various things of Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel and Mishnah about what we do. The Mishnah talked about a Shemeres Yavam, what happens with her Nechasim. So the details of that, as far as it relates to a Shemeres Yavam, as far as it relates to the Dinim of Yibum, we learned about in Yevamos already. So here the Gemara is going to kind of deal with a side thing, not really a side thing, but the aspect of it that has to do more with Ksubas. So the Gemara asks,
we're on Peyamud
Beis, Peyamud Beis at the beginning of the Gemara, five lines from the bottom. So the Gemara asks, Iboyelahu, Shemeres Yavam Shemesa. If the woman dies still as a Shemeres Yavam, me koiva. So who is responsible? Who is responsible for burying her? Now, like this, if she hadn't been a Shemeres Yavam, normally a married woman, then her husband has a responsibility to bury her. We learned earlier in the Masechta that he gets he gets certain things. He gets her ksuba, her ikar and her tosfos and her nichsitza and barizel in return for the fact that he's obligated to bury her. But here she's a Shemeres Yavam. So do we say Yosha Bao Kavilod de Koyausik Suba? Do we say the Yoshim of the husband have to be responsible for burying her because they're Yauchining her Ksuba? So the same way as her husband would have had to when he has her Ksuba, the same way now they have her Ksuba, therefore they should be the ones who have to bury her. So that would be the Yoshim of her first husband. So it could, well, because if the Yavam didn't end up doing Yibum, then he's no more Yodish than any of the other brothers. We're going to have later in the Gemara, we're going to have the story with the one brother who wanted to do Yibum and another brother who wanted to prevent it because he wanted the Nechasim to be split equally. So Yosha Baal would include the brother who it would include all the Yavamim, but not necessarily. Is it, if it was exclusively the one did Yibum, then he's the one who gets all the Nechasim, but if not, then she passed away before that, so therefore he's not. So that's one possibility. Aduma Yoshea Av Kabila, or maybe the Yoshim of the father bury her, because they Yaushin the Nichsim Malug, which we called in the mission the Nechasim that go in and out with her in the sense that they come in with her, and then when she leaves the marriage, they're still hers because they remain hers the whole time. The husband was just entitled to pay us. So that would be the family of her father. Since she, by definition, didn't have children, let's assume that she didn't have children because she certainly didn't have any children with her first husband, otherwise nothing to talk about as far as Yibum. Let's assume that she didn't have any children previously anyway, otherwise they would be yarshining her. So then in that case, the Yerusha goes back to her father. So, and then if he's already dead, then it goes to her, then it goes to his sons, or et cetera, the whole thing as described in Rav Basra. So maybe they should be the ones who are responsible to call Yaushin Nechasim and Echnasim Vayetzinima, because they're the ones who Yaushin the Nechasim that go in and out with her, meaning the Nechasim Malul. So Tosfos points out, by the way, when we said earlier in the Masechta that Kvurasa Tachas Ksubasa, now we assume that Ksubasa means her Iker and her Tosfos and her Nechasitza and Barzel. Tosfos says, in fact, not. It may also include the Nechasim Malul, because the only reason we didn't mention it until now is because it's more common to have Nichsetzer and Barzel than Nichsim Malug. Nichsetzer and Barzel, when she first gets married, she has an Adunia, she has a dowry, and that becomes Nichsetzer and Barzel. That later on, during the marriage, she should end up getting other property, and it should become Nichsim Malug is less common. But nonetheless, the fact is she has inherited Nichsim Malug, and we're saying that her father's family are going to be getting it back. So maybe they're the ones who should be responsible to bury her. So the Gemara says, Amr of Amram Toshma Adetanya. Let's bring a proof from the following braisa. Shemeres Yavam Shemesa. If a Shemeres Yavam dies, Yosheha Yoshek Subasa Chayavim Bekvarasa. The ones who Yaushin her, namely the ones who Yaushin her Ksuba, are the ones who are Chayav to bury her. So then that would answer the question. And the answer is that the Yoshim of her first husband, which includes, yes, it includes the Yavam and it includes all his other brothers as well, they would be responsible to deal with her burial because they would be responsible to deal with her burial because they're Yaushin and Huxuba. Amar Abaya Afanan Nami Chanena. Abaya says, in fact, we have a Braisa, we have in fact a Mishnah actually that says essentially the same thing. Later on in Arma Sechta, Almonan Izonis Menichsi Yisonim, says that an almona gets supported from the estate of the Yesomim. So we touched on this earlier in the Masechta. We said that one of the Tanoi Ksuba is that after the husband passes away, his almana is entitled to be supported by the Yesomim as long as she's alive or until she gets remarried. We talked about until she remarries. We talked about what happens if she goes to Beis Din to demand Uksuba, etc. But the point is, it is one of the Tanoi Ksuba, and the Mishnah says over there that she's supported from the Nechasim of Yisayim, or Maisiya Deh Shalahen, her Maisiya Deh, any of her earnings or the thread that she spins or whatever goes to them, because the same idea, they're giving her Mizonis, so they're entitled to Maisiya Deh. The Ein Chayovim B'Kvorosa. On the other hand, the Yisayim are not Chayov in her Kvora, because they have to pay out her Ksuba. So Yosheho Yoshik Subasa Chayovin Bikvarasa. So who is it that Chayev in her Kvora would be her Yoshim who Yaushin Huksuba? Now the point is, Abaya is saying, why the double expression Yosheho Yoshik Subasa? The Ezuhi Almana Shiyeshla Shne Yoshin, where do you have an Almana that has two different Yoshim? Namely that, yeah, normally an Almana, everything that she has is inherited by her children. So there's no two Yoshim. I mean, there's obviously as many children as you have, but there's no two separate sets of Yoshim. Here, where do you have that there's two separate sets of Yoshim, namely that her Ksuba goes to one and her Nichsim Balor go to the other, as we said in the Mishnah, Heviyem is Shemeres Yavam. Necessarily, that's just Shemeres Yavam. Now, to be sure, Tosfos points out that Mishnah over there is not actually talking about a Shemeres Yavam, because the fact is we're talking about where there are Yisayim. So if there are Yisayim, obviously by definition, she's not a Shemeres Yavam. But the point is, the Abaya is saying the fact that the Tana of the Mishnah used that extra expression Yosheho Yoshik Subasa implies that he's hinting over there that in a case where there are two separate Yoshim, which ones are the ones who are responsible to bury her, the ones who Yaushin Huksuba, namely that would be the Yoshim of the husband. So Omar Rava, but Rava says the problem with that is Velema. Och ani yodesh ishtei ein ani kover. So Rava says, why can't the surviving brother, let's say to keep things simple, there is only one brother. So let's say he's yaushening all of his brother's estate because he didn't leave any children. So why can't, it doesn't really matter, but anyway, why can't he say, I'm not really yaushening anything from her nedunya, from her dowry, from her nichsitza and barizel. All I'm yaushening is the 200, the 100 or 200, the ikuk suba and the tosvis. So I'm not really yaushening from her. I'm yaushening from my brother. Therefore, ishtei ani kover. I shouldn't be required to bury his wife because I'm not really yaushening anything from her. So Tosfos explains like this. There's two possibilities we talked about in the Mishnah. One way of looking at it is Rashi had explained in the Mishnah that. What's the matter? Rashi had explained in the Mishnah that. That when we said in the Mishnah that Nechosim b'chaskasa, and Rashi had explained that there's actually a machloikas who's considered to be the muchzik in the nichse tzon barzel. Is it the husband is considered muchzik in it because he's the one who took achrayus for it, or is she considered, or her family considered the muchzik in it because they were hers? So according to Rashi, then Tosfos points out over here that. So therefore, we can say that the nedunya is not necessarily something that she's yaushening from him, or something that he's yaushening from her, rather. Therefore, he can have this valid claim. He can say, I'm not yaushening for nichsitza and barizel anyway, therefore, why should I be required to bury her? Now, Tosfos brings, on the other hand, there's a different explanation that says that, in fact, we learned before, a long Tosfos on Peyam and Beis that said that maybe not, that maybe, in fact, the nechasim are in fact in his chazaka, the nedunya is in his chazaka. So Tosfos explains, in other words, rather, that the husband has the right, maybe the husband should have the right to say, I'm yaushening only the schusim of my brother, I'm not yaushening his chayus. Because after... What? Somebody's beeping the buttons, yeah, I don't know. Okay, I don't know, we can move a few rows further back and see, I guess. Let's move a few rows further back and see. Okay, second.
Who's beeping the phone? Which phone was beeping the way this?
One second, I'm not sure.
Okay. here you smell the shoes. Like the ring of the sound.
All right, this happened. Okay.
You wasn't
there? No. I was there, I will say. All right. Yeah. So Tosfos explains rather, it's not the vote that he can say I'm not Yaushin and Nun Junior, but he has the right to say maybe that I'm only Yaushin my brother's Chosim, I'm not Yaushin his Chos. Tosfos refers to something we had earlier in the Masechta in a similar vein, where we have, for example, that Yoshim, that for example, if a person borrowed a cow somebody else to plow with or whatever, then he passed away. Now the Yoshim have it, they're not considered a shoyl. They don't have the responsibilities of a shoyl, but they're still allowed to continue using it. So sometimes we see that it is possible to have the schus, the yashim, the schus, and not the chobus. So Tosfos explains, even though he is in fact getting the nedunya, because Tosfos learns that way, nevertheless, he still has the right to say. Then Amban brings a third possibility, that maybe what happens actually is, what about we said in the Mishnah, according to Beis Shammai, that in fact the nedunya, the nichset son barzel, gets divided between the two of them. So then what it is the brother can say, it's not that I don't want to bury her, but I shouldn't have to be responsible all by myself. Half of it is going to us brothers, half of it is going to the Yoshim of her father. So therefore, the two of us together should jointly have to bury her, not just me, not just us brothers by ourselves. But the Pnei Yeshua also here has a long discussion, which also bears on further in the Gemara, where he wants to say that maybe we're talking about over here where the Bechlal aren't any Nichset Tzon Barzel. Anyway, so why can't he say that, says Rava? So Abaye says the reason why that argument wouldn't work is because you can come on him with two different and from two different ways. In other words, however he looks at it, there seems to be some kind of responsibility on him. Im achiv yerush, if we're saying that he's yavshining from his brother, then he should be responsible to bury his brother's wife as well, just as much as the brother himself would have had to if he was still alive. And if he doesn't want to have to be responsible for burying her, then let him pay her ksuba, which after all the kvura is supposed to be instead of the ksuba, so then let him pay that, and then we're talking about a shemeres yav here. We're talking about the fact that, no, we're not talking about mizonis. Mizonis is something else. Mizonis is in return for maisi adel. We're saying that kvura and ksuba go together. So the ksuba is one, we learned earlier in the Masechta, the ksuba is a one-time thing, the kvura is also a one-time thing. That's why the Chachamim set it up that way. So now, the argument, so now Abaye is saying the reason what the brother shouldn't be able to get away with this argument that I'm not responsible, because one way or the other, either he's yaushing his brother and then he should take over his brother's responsibilities of paying for the wife's kvura, or if not, then he should have to pay out the ksuba. So Rava answers, Hachi Kamina. What I mean to say rather is as follows. Let me clarify what I was saying. Och ani yodesh, as ishte ani kover, the brother, the living brother, should be able to say, I'm yaushening for my brother. I shouldn't have to bury his wife. So again, either because according to Rashi, because I'm not yaushening the Nedunya, according to Tosfos, because I am, but I shouldn't have to take over his chovus. According to the Ramban, I shouldn't have to do it by myself. And the Emish from Ksuba, you're going to argue, aye, but what about the Ksuba? The fact is that, so why shouldn't you have to pay out the Ksuba? I could argue, Loi Nitna Ksuba Lugbis Mechaim. After all, the Ksuba is not meant to be collected while the husband is alive. Now look, I'm standing in place of my brother. If he were still alive, he wouldn't be paying out the Ksuba yet. And if his wife died, he wouldn't be responsible to pay out the Ksuba after she died. So the same way over here, I'm taking over his position. Why should I have to, why are you telling me I should have to pay out the Ksuba, otherwise I have to bury her? Why? The brother would be mechuyev to bury her, but Rishonim explained the difference is that that's because she died during his lifetime. But now the surviving brother can say, look, she died after him. So therefore, he never had that responsibility of burying her. And as far as the ksuba, fakert, though, he was not responsible to pay it while she was alive. It would have only come into play after he died. And I'm standing in front of her. In fact, Rashi also adds, the point is that he can say, look, I was expecting to marry her. I was expecting to do yibum with her. And then in that case, then the ksuba would continue on her first husband's achosim. I wouldn't even be writing her out another ksuba. Why should I now have to pay out the ksuba now? It's not my fault that I didn't do yibum with her. She died before I could. So that's Rava's argument. Then why are we requiring him to pay for her burial? And the Gemara answers back, Man shamat le de isle medrash ksuba. After all, which Tana do we find holds of the concept that we garish in the wording of the ksuba? Now we have to realize nowadays ksuba is pretty standardized and we have rabbonim who check it over and make sure that's accurate. Back then, ksuba was something that a husband and wife wrote it up between themselves. There wasn't necessarily such a fixed nusach or whatever. Nevertheless, Bishamai holds that we darshin in the wording in the ksuba and we derive from it halachas about the responsibilities of the husband to the wife. So who holds that is Bishamai. Which, by the way, Tosfos does point out earlier in the Masechta, it's possible that to a certain extent this Hillel also holds of Medrash Ksuba. The context where Beis Shammai says this, we learned at the end of Yevamos, we had a case where a woman comes and says that my husband is dead, and therefore and we say she's allowed to be married because Isha Daiko Minsava, she's going to be very careful to know that it's actually true because she doesn't want to get in trouble. No, even without Eid Echad, just the fact that she herself, well, it can be with Eid Echad, but even Al Pi Atzma, sometimes there are cases where there's Shalom Ba'olam and Shalom Beinu Levein Ishta, so there's no reason to think that she might be panicking and thinking that he was dead when he really wasn't, and it's not like she's trying to get out from being married to him, etc. So then we can believe her. So now Beis Shammai says, what about if she wants a ksuba? Can she collect it? And Beis Shammai says, yes, medrash ksuba. Given that the ksuba has the wording in it, when you remarry, then you're allowed to collect what you, when you remarry somebody else, la'achar, then you can collect your ksuba. Well, she's marrying somebody else. Therefore she can collect her ksuba. So Beis Hillel originally, the Mishnah says, but they disagreed with that. Later on, they ended up agreeing with Beis Shammai. So Tosfos earlier in the Masechta discusses that maybe actually, to a certain extent, Beis Hillel agrees with Beis Shammai on medrash ksuba. Maybe they agree when it benefits the woman, but not when it's against her, as would be in this example. But the other possibility Tosfos says over there is that maybe Beis Hillel didn't end up agreeing with Beis Shammai because of medrash ksuba, but rather because Beis Shammai brought a kavachoim over there. They said, look, if you're being matter her to marry, which is an issur kares, if her husband is still alive, how much more so we should allow her to collect money, which is much more lenient. So not necessarily did they ever accept this concept of medrash ksuba, but even if they did, Tosfos says it wouldn't necessarily be in a case like this where it's to her detriment. Means it's bad for her. It means that now her yavam is not going to be required to pay for her funeral, and we have to figure out who is. So if you're going to say that you daush in medrash ksuba, that's only according to Beis Shammai. Well, v'shaminim luchlo Beis Shammai da'ami shtar ha'imed ligvis gavri domi. We also find the same Beis Shammai holds that a shtar that's going to be collected is considered as if it was already collected. Therefore, she has more of a chazaka on the nechassim. So you can in effect say that he is yaushin in ksuba from her and the nechsitza in barzel or whatever from her. So if you look at it like that, you're going to say, you're arguing l'nitna ksuba l'gvis mechayim, but in a certain sense, it's considered as though he already collected it, as though he already yaushin it from her when she died. So therefore, yes, if he yaushin ksuba, he should be required to bury her. Ditznan, and we know this because we learn a Mishnah in Sota. You have a case where there was kinnery and then there was stira, and now after the stira, then she has to drink the mesota. And the Mishnah says, Mesu balein ad shelo shasu. What happens if the husband of such a woman dies before she had a chance to drink the mesota? So Beis Shammai says she can collect her ksuba. She does not have to drink the mesota. The fact that she doesn't have to drink the mesota, the Gemara is going to point out in a couple of lines, she anyway can't because her husband's dead. Her husband would be the one who has to bring her to the Beis Mikdash to have it done. So that she's not drinking mesota is a given, but Beis Shammai says she can still collect her ksuba. Or Beis Hillel says either she has to drink or she has to collect her ksuba. So the question is, what do we mean? Either she drinks. The fact is, the pasuk says he has to bring his wife to the kohen, and you don't have her. He can't bring her to the kohen because he's dead. So obviously there's no possibility of her drinking the mesota. So why are we using the expression oishosis? Ella, no, what he means is, what Beis Hillel says is, mitoch shalei shoses leinot b'ksuba. Because she can't drink the mesota, therefore she doesn't collect her ksuba, because she may have been mezana. Now, we have to figure out then, in that case, then why Beis Shammai omim not the ksuba b'lo shoses? So Beis Shammai says that the fact is she can still collect her ksuba. So the question is, why? B'amai sfeikahu, sofik zanoi, sofik lo zanoi. Isn't it a sofik whether she was mezana or not? Because he's sofik omotzi midei vadei. So a sofik that she has is going to be able to take away from a vadei. Her husband is muchzik in the ksuba. He hasn't paid it out yet. So how can she? She would have to bring proof that she wasn't mezana, and she can't. the proof would be Meisota, and she can't drink the Meisota anymore. So,
because she has to bring her,
and she can't drink the Meisota because he's dead. Yeah. So the answer must be Kasafri Beshama Shtar Ho Imid Ligbus Kigavu Dami. So the answer is that Beshama must hold that a shtar that's going to be collected is considered as though it's correct collected. So therefore, yes, she's considered to have more of a chazaka on the nechasim because she has the ksuba in her hand. Therefore, she's considered to have more of a chazaka on these nechasim than her husband did. So therefore, Beshamai says that in that case, even though she only has a suffix, then therefore that's reason enough for her to be considered the muhsif and to be able to collect it. So the point is, though, we're saying Beshamai holds that. So Beshamai, who are the ones who are hold that Medrash Ksuba, they're also the ones who hold that she's muhsif. So we're back to, therefore, on the face of it, then, the Yavam is, in fact, inheriting from her. So how does he have the right to say that? I'm not inheriting from her. I shouldn't have to bury her. So that's the point is that the point is only according to Beshamai would we say is it considered that he's inheriting her. But according to Beshamai, we would also say that we darshin medrash ksuba, and we say that because the ksuba uses the expression that that he's going to bury her when that comes, then therefore, so Beshamai is darshining that and saying, therefore, if he garishens Uksuba, then he has to bury her. Well, then in that case, so according to Beshamai, yes, he would have to bury her, but according to Beshilo, not necessarily. Beshilo doesn't hold a Medrash Ksuba. We said Beshilo doesn't hold a Medrash Ksuba. The concept that we say that if I don't have to pay out your Ksuba, that I have to bury you instead, Beshilo doesn't necessarily hold that. So according to Beshilo, maybe not necessarily would he be required to bury her. So Abaya's point was that regardless, we're going to require him to bury her, but Rava is saying not necessarily, that might be only according to Beshama. So the Gemara says, "V'habe inan l'chiti nosi la'achar titli mashakosav lichi v'leka." Don't you have though another consideration? After all, the what we're darshining from the ksuba, we're saying, what did we say before? Abaya said that we were saying that the Rava had said that the ksuba is not meant to be collected mechayim. It's not meant to be collected while the wife was alive. It only came into the picture. It would have only come into the picture after the husband died and there was no yibum. Now the problem is that the expression in the ksuba is kshitinosi la'acher. When you marry somebody else, titli mashakosav lichi, then you'll be able to collect what was written for you in the ksuba. The leka, here you don't have it, because the fact is she can't marry freely. There's a yibum involved, so there needs to be either yibum or chalitza. Abaya was arguing boin olav mishnei tzadin. No matter how you look at it, either we tell him, look, either you're considered to be yaushining from your brother, and then you have to take over his responsibilities as well, including burying her, or we say that, then you should have to pay her ksuba. And Rava had answered to that: ksuba is not meant to be collected while she's alive. It was only meant to be collected. So the time for collecting it hadn't come yet. But the question is, how would it have come anyway? The fact is, when she's a shemeres yavam, she's not yet ready to marry somebody else. At this point, the Gemara is assuming that the yavam is not somebody else. So the answer is Amar Ravashi, Yavam Nami, Ka'achar Gami. As a matter of fact, yes, the Yavam does count as an Achar. He does count as somebody else, because the fact is he's not her husband. For some purposes, now Tosfos points out there are other cases in Shas where we say that the word Achar, we learn that the word Achar in a Pasuk specifically excludes the Yavam. But over here, we're talking about Loshon Chachamim. In Loshon Torah, the word Achar may not include the brother, but in Loshon Chachamim, the word Achar includes also the brother. So therefore, the fact is she is ready to marry somebody else, namely the brother. Therefore, according to Beshamai's Medrash Ksuba, at that point, the Ksuba would have been ready to collect. And Beshamai also considers that she's Muchsik in the Ksuba. Therefore, we can say that the brother, the Yavam, we can say is Yavshin in the Ksuba from her, and therefore has the responsibility to bury her. So they were saying that Acher, in Lashon Torah, the word Acher does not include the brother. But in Lashon Chachamim, it does. Therefore, we can say, now we can darshin medrash ksuba. Kshetinasi la'acher, when you marry anybody else, including the brother, titli mashakosav lichi, at that point, you will be able to collect what was written for you in the ksuba. And therefore, now that she's ready to marry his brother, and that she died before that could happen, then the brother, in effect, is yaushin the ksuba from her.
Okay.
So therefore, so now he has the responsibility to now he has the responsibility to pay for a burial. No, the context is well, yeah, the ishach. No, by the ishach yikochena, where we say by when a person is going to war, that if he was a mio ishach eras ishav olay lekacha, should go home. And yomus mocham the ishach yikochena. So it means that the yavam is not called acher. So therefore, in other words, we don't say that if the guy is childless, that he should necessarily be able to go home from the war because of that. Because after all, his brother is not considered acher.
Right, but
the point is, in other words, that the point is what Rav Ashi is establishing over here is that since the Yavam is considered Acher, therefore that clause of Ksuba would have kicked in. She would have been getting Ksuba at that point, except for the fact that she died. Therefore, we can now say she can nasi la'acher. Now she is entitled to that ksuba. So now the fact is she doesn't actually collect her ksuba at that point, because usually the yavam is going to be doing yibum, and we said before the ksuba is going to continue with her husband, with her first husband nechasin. But in principle, the ksuba in principle is already hers according to Bishamish, shtaro imed ligvus gavri dami, and therefore that we can say now that the yavam yarshin it from her. So now that's what we're saying. Beshilo doesn't hold a medrash ksuba. They don't necessarily hold the shtar ha'imad ligbus kigavri dami. We see that now because we see in the case of the soisha that Beshilo clearly says she doesn't get the ksuba. Why not? Because the husband is the one who's muksak. She's the one who has the suffix whether she was mizaneh or not, and therefore Beshilo says her suffix can't take away from his vada. So yeah. So both of those things are according to Beshama. So this is where the Pnei Yeshua says, so what are we going to say? That Baya's whole din is only according to Bishamai. The halacha is like the Sillel, after all. So that's where he says that maybe this whole discussion, we were only discussing if there's Nichsit Son Barazel, then we have to figure out what Bishamai would say we do about them. But if there's no Nichsit Son Barazel, then anyway, there's nothing to talk about as far as who's Yaushining what. There's no question the Ikur Ksuba and the Tosfos Ksuba that he's not having to pay out. Those are considered an effect that he yashin them, and therefore we can say, therefore we can still say, even according to Beis Hillel, he would be required to bury her. Okay, so the Gemara continues. Shalach le Rava la Abaya biyad Rav Shmaya Bazeh. So now, continuing this discussion, though, Rava sent Abaya a message through Rav Shmaya Bazeh. The question was, min nitna ksuba le gobis mechayim? Is it in fact the case that the ksuba can be collected? And the ksuba is considered ready to be collected while the husband is alive. So in other words, like this, what we were saying before, the yavam can say, in effect, that the ksuba was already considered hers in a certain sense. And therefore, now I can say that I'm yaushing it from him. Actually, I said before, he's yaushing it from her. Really, actually, we would say that maybe it's more he's yaushing it from his brother. But whatever the case, do we in fact say that? But Hatanya, Rab Abba, we learn in a braisa that Rab Abba says, and actually, on the side of the human Masoros Hashas, and also the Shittu Kubetz, say that this Rav Abba is actually the Amora Rav. There's three places in Shas where we say sometimes Rav Tana Hu Poli, but he's considered a Tana. He can argue with Tanoim. So sometimes he's mentioned in Braises. This is one of a few places in Shas, I think three places, where he's named by his name in a Braise, Rav Abba, because that was his real name, Abba. He was called Rav as a title of respect. Anyway, so Rav says, Sha'altia Sumchus, I asked Sumchus, the famous Talmud of Rav Meir, I asked, Harotza Shayimka B'nichse Achiv, suppose the Yavam wants to sell some of his brother's property. Now, we said before that all the property he inherited from his brother is under Achrayus for the Ksuba. So therefore, now he wants to sell some of this property. What should he do? The fact is, his new wife, his Yavama, now that he did Yibum with her, she has a Shibud on that entire property and he can't sell any of it. So what does he do if he wants to sell some of it? So Sumchus answered, Im Koyimbu, if the Yavam, what Sumchus is going to suggest is that he divorces her and then remarries her. But if he's a Koyin, he can't do that because a Koyin can't marry a Grusha. So he says, Im Koyimbu, Yasa Suda Vifayas. So if he's a Koyin, then what he should do is make her a nice Suda. The way to a person's heart is through their stomach. And then he'll be able to appease her. Then she'll be able, then during the Suda, he'll be able to get her when she's in a good mood. He'll be able to get her to agree to let him sell some of this property and not worry about her. And still leave, of course, enough property to have a Shibud for the Ksuba. But in other words, like this, what we're saying is all of his brother's property is under Shibud to the Ksuba. So even the Ksuba was, let's say, just 200 zuz. But if his brother left in a state of 1,000 zuz, the entire 1,000 is under shibud for the ksuba, because the Gemara is going to explain later, she has the right to say, I don't want to have to be matriach to Beis Din to go take away from other buyers or whatever. So That's the point. So now the Yafayas is that. He can talk her into, you know what, I'll make sure that I leave 200. After all, like this, she can say like this. The two, in a normal case, she could say, you know what, yes, you're going to leave a field of 200. What happens if that field gets damaged? What happens if it gets flooded? What happens if it gets whatever? Then I'm going to have to go look for other fields. Those fields, meanwhile, you might have sold. And I have to go be matriarch to base them to get them. I don't want to bother with the whole hassle. So therefore, all of it has to remain under a shibur. So now Sumchus is suggesting if the husband is a Kohen, the Yavam is a Kohen, and he wants to be able to sell this property, good, let him talk her into it in the course of a meal, and then she'll agree that I'm not going to worry about that. Im Yisrael, who, on the other hand, if he's a Yisrael, then he can divorce her. Megarish beget, then what he can do is he can divorce her with a get, the Yachzir, and then he can, then after he pays her off the ksuba, then he can sell whatever he wants of his brother's property, because at that point the ksuba is paid off, and then he can remarry her. In fact, Rashi says actually he couldn't even do that. He could actually he could even remarry her before he starts selling, because once the ksuba, Rashi explains, the Yavam doesn't write her a new ksuba, because it goes on his first brother, on his brother's, it goes against his brother's nechassim. But if he divorces her and he remarries her, then we need a new ksuba anyhow. So therefore, it doesn't matter what order he does things, whether he divorces her, sells the properties, and then remarries her, or whether he divorces her, remarries her, then sells the properties. Either way, we need a new ksuba. And with a new ksuba, not all of his properties are going to be meshuba to the new ksuba. In our modern day ksubas, we write that he's meshabed everything, but he doesn't technically. There is a shibud on them, but nevertheless, we don't ask him to sell other properties. In a normal marriage, not a yibum, we do say if he wants to sell properties, then fine, he can. The only exception, Rashi says, based on Gemara and Gittin, is if he wrote her out a document saying that this particular field is meshubad to the ksuba, or if in the ksuba itself he wrote that a particular field is meshubad to it, or if it's a field that is her nichsitzon barzo that she brought into the marriage, those he can't sell without her permission. But anything else he could. So with a regular husband-wife relationship. So therefore, over here, that's what he can do. He can divorce her, then in some order, remarry her and sell property, and then he's good. In the case of Yisrael, in the case of a Kohen, we're saying he can't do that because he can't remarry a Grusha.
I think it's also, if you say the word divorce, she might say, okay, you know, forget it, just keep it the way it is.
So we're actually touch on later that she's aware that this get is not for the purpose of because he hates her and doesn't want to remarry her. Sure, she's going to realize that it's just in order to be able to accomplish these financial shenanigans. So if she's masking without that, fine. But if not, then he has the ability to do that. Remember, this is before Chaim Deir Ben Negoshim. She doesn't have to agree to receive a get. Yeah, yeah. So now the question is, if you're telling me that the ksuba could be collected, it is considered that she has the right to collect it, even while the husband is alive, why do we need that whole rigmarole? Let him set aside for her a shiur ksuba, and the rest of it he should be able to sell. Because after all, then it should be considered, Tosfos says, as though she already collected the ksuba and then returned it to him. Because after all, the fact is she's going to collect her ksuba eventually after her husband dies or divorces her. But meanwhile, we should consider it as though, if we say kigavri domi, we should consider it as though she actually collected it, then she returned it to him, and then therefore he's free to sell whatever he wants, and now she returned it to him. And in other words, in effect, there's a new ksuba. So we don't even need the get in between. We should consider shtaro imid ligvis kigavri domi. So we should consider it as though she already collected the ksuba payment.
So
the Gemara is going to answer that. Right. The Gemara is going to answer that. The Gemara is going to answer it basically exactly that point. Right. So the Gemara answers back, V'litai meith, nu, and according to your svara that you're even asking the question, V'loisma mas nisin, why are you even asking from this matter of shtar o'imid ligbus, but it's not in the Mishnah, ask directly from our Mishnah, where we said, L'yoyma laharik subasif munas lich ala shulchan, where we said, you can't say that the ksuba is lying for her, is lying for you on the table, which we said yesterday, why we said shulchan, you have to realize that in Gemara terminology, a shulchan doesn't always mean a table that you eat on. Many times it means a shulchan as in the counter of a shulchan. So it means, in other words, he can't say, if he's a shulchani, I have money lying on the counter that I'm taking out of my business to set aside for your ksuba. He can't say that, as we're going to learn tomorrow, the reason why. Rather, we say in the case of a Yavam particularly, that olives and the chosim are an acharias for the ksuba. So why aren't you asking from that, even without getting into the matter of kol ha'omed ligvos? Why wouldn't he have the right to say, yes, I'm setting aside 200 zuz for your ksuba, my Yavama, who now I've done Yavam with, and now the rest of the property that I bought for that I got from my brother, I can sell. The answer is, the Gemara says no, because you could say in the case of the Mishnah, Hosan Eitz Atoba Kamashkalon, because in the case of the Mishnah, you could say the Mishnah is just giving us good advice. Rashi says the good advice is that if the Metalfilin get lost, then there's no Ksuba, then you'd have to write another Ksuba. So therefore, it's a good idea for him not to have to go through that whole rigmarole. Tosfos disagrees with that because, I mean, so Tosfos gives a different explanation. Tosfos says, Tosfos gives two other explanations. Eitz Tova also means, as we say, b'chlal, what's the whole reason of a ksuba? Shall I take kalah b'ein of leitzia? It shouldn't be that easy for him to divorce. So just say you can take your money and go. So therefore, that's the Eitz Tova. And then Tosfos says another explanation. The Eitz Tova is for the wife. Like this, if he sets aside for metalfilin for her, it's an Eitz Tova, in other words, regarding the wife. If he sets aside metalfilin, then those metalfilin are earmarked. He can't do anything with them. As opposed to if all of nechosim are achrayim for the ksuba, he is actually able to spend other money. He's able to spend any money he wants because as long as eventually his wife has a shibud and his karka, so therefore, as long as at some point there was karka, then she'll be able to collect from it. So that's the Eitz Tova that we're saying, as opposed to having to have money, which is locked up over there and you can't do anything with it. Anyway, so therefore, from the Mishnah, you can't necessarily say maybe it's only Eitz Tova, but from the Braisa, it's clear that we're saying, from what Sumchus is saying, that we're saying we gadish beget the yach. So the only way to arrange it is with this get business. So why should we say that? If we say nitnik subalugus mechayim, we shouldn't need that. So the Gemara answers, and the Gemara says, in fact, to Eloi Temahafi, in fact, you have to say the Mishnah is only telling us good advice and not an actual halacha that he has to do it that way. Because otherwise, the Eloi Temahafi, if you're not going to say that, Sefer de Katani, look at the Sefer of the Mishnah that says, V'chein lo yoma odim le'ishtoi, in a regular case, the husband and wife, not Yibum, the husband can't say to his wife, Ha'yuk munachas lechal ha'shofan, Yuk'suba is lying on the table. So, El kol nechosav achroin l'ksuba sishtoi, all is nechosav achroyis, under achrayas for the ksuba. So you're going to say boylel is a bunny, hochanamid lemati masbin. You're going to say therefore he can't sell any of the chosim as long as he's married. Of course not. In a regular case, we know even though the husband has accepted a shibud on all of his nechosim for his ksuba, nevertheless he's still allowed to buy and sell. Yeah. Ela Eitz Tova Kamash Malon. Obviously, that part of the Mishnah is an Eitz Tova. Hochanami Eitz Tova Kamash Malon. So you could say the same thing with the Yavam. It's only an Eitz Tova. Maybe the Mishnah is not telling us an actual halacha that he's not allowed to sell anything else of his brothers. But from the Braisa, where we see that the only way to make it happen is by giving her a get in between, we see that he's actually not allowed to. So the question is, why not? Based on Nitna Ksuba Lugus Mechaim, he should be able to as long as he earmarks a certain part for her. Our Mishnah is saying that he can't, but our Mishnah could only be an Eitz Tova. The Braise is making it clear that there's no other way to do it. Sumchus is saying there's no other way to do it except by divorcing her. And if he's a Kohen, not even that is going to work. And then the only way is to talk her into it. Yeah. Okay. So the Gemara says, Ela did Rab Abba Kasha. Okay. So we're still left with the question from, we're still left with Rab Abba's question. Instead of divorcing her, why can't he, the fact is Gerushin is denied for both of them. So why can't he set aside? The reason must be because loy nitna ksuba lugbis mechayim. So therefore, in other words, we can't consider that the ksuba is ever in position to be collected until the husband actually dies or divorces her. Well, in that case, how does that fit? Rava is asking Abaya with what we said earlier. You said earlier, Abaya, that was saying nitna ksuba lugbis mechayim. The ksuba is collectible even while her husband is still alive. So how does that fit? The answer is, did abanami like kasha mishum eva? The answer is, it's not a question because we can say that there is going to be if he sets aside particular character, particular metalkin to pay off the ksuba, then it creates a certain ill feeling, a certain eva, a certain bad feeling between them. She's thinking, you know what? He probably plans to divorce me at some point, and that's why he set aside this one that he's gonna leave off limits, but everything else, yeah. Whereas on the other hand, when he's divorcing her only for this purpose, he knows he's only doing it in order to get around this matter of not being able to sell his brothers in the fossim. And so therefore there's no Ava to be worried about. Okay. So that's the answer then. We do say nitnik subalugus mechayim, but on the other hand, In the case of Sumchos and Rav Abba, we're saying that we don't want him to set aside something particular because that can create Eva. Instead, we would rather that he divorces her and remarries her, even though that seems ignai, because she understands that there's no Eva involved, that he's doing it strictly business, as they say, and nothing personal, strictly business, as they say in English. Yeah. Okay. The Gemara tells a case. There was a man who a Yavama fell to him in Pumbedissa. So his brother was living in Pumbedissa. His brother died. His wife is now up for Yibum. Now, the problem, now we learned in Yavamas that when one of the brothers does Yibum with her, that brother now yarishins all of the property of the dead brother. So now one of the other brothers did not like that. You think about it. What happens if the brother does not do Yibum? If he does Chalitza and now she's free to marry somebody else, then all of the brothers share equally in the Yerusha. Because after all, they're all his equal Yerushim. So what happened was Bo Yachul Mifsalab Gitamine. So another brother, so Reuven was living in Pumbedissa, he died. Shimon is ready to do Yibum. Levi wants to give her a get and possible. We learned in Yavamis many times that if one of the Yavamim gives her a get, then Midrabanan passels her for Yibum. She can only do, she needs Chalitza. She needs Chalitza from all the brothers in that case. So this third brother, Levi, wanted to do that in order to prevent the Yibum from taking place because he didn't want his brother Shimon to end up with all the Nechasim. Money will make people do things they shouldn't. Yeah. Amalei, so Shimon tells him, my daitach, what are you worried about? You're worried that I'm going to get all the nechassim of Reuven? Fine. Anobin nichsi polignolach. I'll divide the nechassim with you so you're not losing out anything. So let me do Yibum with her and don't stand in our way. Amar Rabbi Yosef, but Rabbi Yosef says, in this case, that doesn't work. Kiven de Omer Rabbanon loy Lisbin, since the Chachamim said that the Yavam has no right to sell the property of his dead brother, then even though in this case he sold it, or in this case he gifted it, or whatever, his gift or his sale is not considered a valid sale, and therefore, when Levi comes to Beis Din and says, "Nu, where's the half of the nechassim that you promised me?" Shimon is going to have the right to say, "It doesn't work. I'll be alocha. I'm not allowed. I'm not allowed to, because it's all under achrayus for huksuba."
But that doesn't say that you have to forgive the brother of the trinity before you give a get.
To give the brother, no. In fact, given that a get can be given without the woman's rotzen before Chayim Ben Gershon, Levi doesn't even have to actually hand it to her. He could be standing in the street and throwing it to her, and as long as it lands close enough to her that she can be meshamered it, then it's considered a valid get.
Even though
Yibum would come first, but he still has the ability to do it. We're not saying the Chachamim would like if he does that, but the fact is he has the ability to do it. So Shimon figured he'll yeah, she's still, yeah. In fact, because it's going to be Chalitza Grua, she's going to need Chalitza for both of them in that case to be motivated to marry anybody else. Yeah, but the
point. We don't go to the age of brothers, give the first brothers.
No, because the fact is, if any of them give, it's true the eldest brother has first choice, but nevertheless, if one of the other brothers goes and does Yibum or Chalitza or Get, then it's still Chal. So, yeah. So Rabbi Yosef says, because Shimon has no right to sell the property, therefore, this whole deal doesn't work. There's an interesting point, actually, that Mefoshe bring up over here. There's a famous sugya at the beginning of Masechta Tmura. Masechta Tmura is one of those Masechtas that probably, if it weren't for Daf Yomi, nobody would ever learn it. But it's near the end of Seder Kodshim. But there's an important sugya over there on the question. When the Torah says you're not allowed to do something, if you did it, is it actually effective or not? There's a whole sugya that was extending over about three or four blocks between Abaye and Rava discussing that point. The halacha is i'ovid loy mahani, that if a person does something that the Torah tells him not to, in many cases we say it's not effective. There are certain cases where there's exceptions, because the Tmura itself is an example, because the Torah says it's effective, and so forth. Anyway, over here, Mefoshim point out, even though we're only talking of Gzeira Dirabbanan, nevertheless, we can still say the same thing, that i'ovid loy mahani. The other way of looking at it is Hefka based in Hefker, that when it comes to matters involving Dinim Mominus, then Beis Din has more latitude. Anyway, so Rabbi Yosef is saying, since so his sale is not a valid sale. The Tanya, as in fact we learn in a Braisa, Misha Mesri Niach Shemeras Yavam, if a man died and he left a Shemeras Yavam, Viniach Nechosim Emeya Mona, and he left over Nechosim that are worth 100 Mona, Afa Pish Ksubasa Ene El Mona, so even if her Ksuba is only one Mona, because she wasn't a Basula at the time, Afalpi, and nevertheless, Lo Yimko, the brother, is not allowed to sell anything. Shekol Nechosav Achra in the Ksubasa, because all the 100 money that he inherited from his brother is all under Achrayas for the Ksuba. So therefore, he's not allowed to sell. So therefore, when he made this deal with Levi, then the deal is not a deal. In fact, we're going to have later on, we're going to learn in the Gemara tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem, that other people heard of the story and now they learn to be more careful next time. Now, in a future case, when a Levi wants to do this and Shimon tells him, I'll give you half the property, then the next time already Levi is smarter and he says, you know what, I'm not falling for this the way that the previous Levi did last time. Yeah. Anyway. There's no way the Chachamim can't make a Zera to prevent something Daraisa. If he gives her a get, the fact is so a get for Yavama is really only Dirabanan, fine, but still, the Chachamim are not going to undo and say that his get is not valid in this case because of that. So we'll have to find other arrangements, which we'll learn tomorrow, a different arrangement like that, anyway. So the Gemara says, so Omale Abaya, Sabaya asked Rabbi Yosef, how could you say that? You're telling me any place where the Chachamim said you're not allowed to sell Afagab de Lizabin, then even if Bidiyevity sold by Habi Zvini Zvini, then his sale is not considered a valid sale? But none. We learned at the beginning of our Perek, with Shama Imim Timber, we had the case of an Arusa who inherited property, and now she's selling it still as an Arusa. So Bishamai says she can sell it even Lachtchila, or Bishilamim Loitim her. Bishilo says Lachtchila she shouldn't, because her husband is already going to have a shibud on it for Paris. But Elu Ve'elu Moedim Shem Machra V'Nos Nakayim. But they both agree that if she sold or if she gave, then it's valid, B'diyevin. So even when the Chachamim say you're not supposed to sell something, many times we can say that it is valid. Why shouldn't we say that over here, B'diyevin, that it should be valid and Levi should get his part? So the Gemara says, Shalchu al Kamed Rav Chanina bar Papi. So they sent the case, they sent the whole Din Torah to Rav Chanina bar Papi, Shalcha kid Rav Yosef. And he answered back the same as Rav Yosef did, that the sale was invalid. Omer Abaya, but Abaya still wasn't satisfied with that. He says, Alter Rav Chanina bar Papi, Kipi Tolila. What did Rav Chanina bar Papi hang jewelry on it? In other words, how did he improve? Rav Yosef gave an answer, and I pointed out that the Mishnah before in our Perek seems to contradict that. Rav Chanina bar Papi is giving exactly the same answer. How is it any better? Is it better because it's been beautified with jewelry? There's nothing better in his answer than Rabbi Yosef's that we should have to accept it. He'd still have to explain how it fits with the mission at the beginning of the parak. So the Gemara says, so sure enough, they sent the case to the Manumi Breder of Nachumi. So he sent back that the answer would be like Abaya says, that B'dievet it would be a valid sale. But he says, I hear what Rabbi Yosef said. If Rabbi Yosef gives a different reason why he says the way he's saying, how he deals with the contradiction from the Mishnah, then fine, send it to me. I'd like to hear it. And then I'll decide on the basis of that. So Nafik Rabbi Yosef. So Rabbi Yosef went out, Doc. He started checking into it, Bashkach, and sure enough, he found a braisa that would support his position. The idea being, not all the braisas were known in the Beis Medrash. So you'd have to literally go out of the Beis Medrash and find a Tana who knows many different braisas and find him and ask him. Yeah. So Tanya, Hareshaya Noshabachiv, suppose that one brother was owed money by the other brother. So now, in other words, let's say, so Reuven owed Shimon money. Reuven owed Shimon his brother money. Now Shimon died, and he leaves a Shemeres Yavam. Lo Yoma, Reuven can't say Hoyovashani Yorish, since after all, I'm the one who's Yarshining, Hechzakti, then therefore I have a chazaka on the schoiv and I shouldn't have to pay it anymore. Elam would see in the Yavam, rather we take that money away from the Yavam, and it has to go as a shibud for the Ksuba, v'yikach ben karkavoy choperis. We buy karka with it and he gets Paris from it, like we do in any other case of Nechasim that he gets from his brother. Tosfos, by the way, points out that he can't be moichol the choiv to himself. Tosfos gives a couple of reasons why. One of them is because he's only yaushining through her. Why is he yaushining his brother? Like this, he would have only yaushined some of the property, and the other brothers would be yaushining the rest of it, and then he'd still have to pay them. But here, he's yaushining the whole thing only because of her koyach, so he doesn't have the ability to be moichel that choiv for himself. Also, Tosfos says it's a case of dinah d'garmi. That's a case where he would be causing a hezek to her, and then he can't do that. Anyway. So Rabbi Yosef is saying we see from this braisa that the husband doesn't have, that the yavam doesn't have free rights on the nechassim. So therefore, by the same token, he doesn't have free rights to give half of them away to Levi in the case that we had before in Pobedis. But Abaya says, still, that's not a proof in that braisa. Maybe it's only the Chachamim are giving him in this braisa, are giving him good advice that instead of like this, there's going to be money and eventually you spend money and all of it is gone. Instead, it's better to use it to buy karka, and karka will last long term. So Tosfos actually learns differently. Tosfos says Tovalei Avdulei means that it'll create greater Shalom Bayis. Because this way she has more of a certainty that she's going to be able to collect her ksuba. So maybe that's all it is. Maybe it's not saying a halacha that is not, like we said before, in connection with our Mishnah, that it was only Eitzah Tova. Maybe the same thing over here. This Braisa is telling us the Tovalei Avdulei, the Chama, giving him good advice, what to do, but not necessarily saying that he's not allowed to. So the Gemara says, Hodesh Shalchur Kamedir Manyumi, Breder Nachumi, they sent back the whole discussion to the Manyumi, Breder Nachumi, Amalahu, so he tells them, Hachi Amar of Yosef, Bamanyumi, Amar of Nachman, Zu Eina Mishnah. You should know this Braisa, this Braisa that of Yosef is quoting, is not actually a valid Braisa. It was never taught in the Bais Medrash, and we can't actually rely on it for anything. I skipped a couple of lines. So Abaye says the Tobalay Obdale, Omalay. So Rabbi Yosef says, Tana Tony McZian. What do you mean? The Tana says that we take the money away from him and he forced it to be used to buy karka. Ba'atam the Tobalay Obdale. You're saying it's only a good advice? Then we wouldn't say McZian. So Hodu Shalfu Kamedra Manyumi Bredner Rafumi, Omalahu, he says to them, Hoch Yam Rabbi Yosef Amanyumi, Omar Nachman, Zu Eina Mishnah, this Braisa is not a valid Braisa, and we can't learn anything from it. So the question is, my time, what's wrong with this Braisa that we should say, what's wrong with this Braisa that we should reject? Ilema Mishum Dahavalu Metaltali. Are we going to say because we're dealing here with the money is metalflin or metalflin luxuba le mishavdi? Metalflin are not meshuba to luxuba. Fine, but so what? Dumer de meyuhi. Maybe this braisa goes according to the mayor, dumer metalflin mishavdi luxuba. He says that yes. Now, fine, the halacha is not like the mayor, but that's not reason enough to say that the braisa we completely reject. To say ain't a mishnah is a very strong statement that the braisa is completely wrong. If we can make it work according to the mayor, that's not a reason to reject it entirely. Fine, we can say you can't learn halacha from it. The elam shum de omel lav at lav bal dronim di at. Is it maybe we would say the braisa is not a valid braisa because the yavam can say to the yavama, look, I didn't borrow any money from you. I borrowed from my brother. The shibud is between me and him. You have nothing to do with it. So you have no right to prevent me from using this money for whatever I want now that my brother is dead. But still, Dilmur Abnosani. Maybe this Braisa goes according to Abnosan. So again, it's not a reason to say that's invalid. The Tanya Abnosan. What? This is the famous Shibud of Abnosan. This is the famous idea of the Shibud that Abnosan described. That he says, how do we know that if Reuven owes Shimon a mona, and in turn Shimon owes Levi a mona, how do we know that we take from Reuven and give directly to Levi? In other words, Levi can take Reuven to Beis Din to demand the mona. Reuven can't say, I'm sorry, I don't have any dealings with you. I deal only with Shimon, because Levi could say, your Shibud to Shimon is in turn a Shibud to me. That's called Shibud de Rabnosan. So how do we know that? It also means, for example, that Shimon wouldn't have the right to be Moichel the Chayv because that would prevent Levi from being able to collect. There's a number of naftaminas in it, in Halacha. So how do we know? Tamad Leim of a Nosan La'asher Osham Lo. Therefore, the Pasuk says he should give it to the one to whom he owes it. So it doesn't say Asher Noshabo, the one who's demanding it, but rather Asher Osham Lo, the one who the actual Keren belongs to. So we see from that, since the Keren in this case ultimately belongs to Levi, then Reuven has to pay it to him directly. So therefore, so the Yavam would have no ability to say that, I'm sorry, I only borrowed from my brother and you have nothing to do with it. This is a situation of Shibud de Rabnosan. Her dead husband had a Shibud to her. The Yavam had a Shibud to the brother. Therefore, now she's considered to have the Shibud.
The
Shibud, yeah, the Ksuba. So the Braisa may be only according to Rabnosan. That's not a reason to reject it completely and say, ain't a Mishnah. By the way, there is. I came across a sikha where the Rebbe talked about the idea. We have various things that the Rebbeim took responsibilities on themselves, and they asked us to participate in those responsibilities. Therefore, that's shibud de Rabnosan. Therefore, we have an example in avodah of shibud de Rabnosan. When we do those things, then we're taking over the shibud that the Rebbeim put on themselves, and then we should realize we have that responsibility. So what's the problem with this braisa? Ella, no. The reason, the problem with the braisa is like Ashkechan Tana de Machmet Shrei Chumri B'Ksuba. We never find a Tana who would say that both of these chumras should apply to a Ksuba. After all, the Ksuba is the Rabbanan. So, according to many opinions, or even if we say the Raisa, most of the details of how the Ksuba is collected, whatever, are the Rabbanan. So the idea that we should say, number one, that we should follow Rav Meir and say that even the Talpilin are Meshubin to the Ksuba, and number two, follow Rav Nosson and have Shibuddha to Rav Nosson and say that therefore the Yavam has a Shibud directly to the Yavama, we're not gonna say both of those things. It's one or the other. Ela Ikid Rav Meir, Ikid Rav Nosson. And the result is, if you say only like Rav Meir, then fine, the money is Meshubin, but on the other hand, it's not Meshubin to her, it was Meshubin to his brother. And if you say, if you say only like a mayor, fine, Metalpin or Meshubin to the Ksuba, but on the other hand, these Metalpin he inherited from his brother, there's no, you shouldn't be able to treat them like any other Metalpin of his. On the other hand, if we said only like Rav Nosson, then only character is Meshubin to the Ksuba, the money is not Meshubin at all. So the fact that the Brice says both these Chubris is why Rav Yosef Rav Manyumi said that this Brice is not valid, said that this Brice is not valid, ain't a Mishnah. So Rava finishes off. Now I understand. Abaya was saying about this Brisa that it's not a valid Brisa. And I didn't know why. Now I understand, based on what we explained, why Abaya said that Brisa is no good. In the end, we didn't answer the stira from the Mishnah at the beginning of the Perek, where we see that even though the Yarusa is able to sell, even though Lachatchila Beshilol says she shouldn't sell the Yevid, she did if it's valid. So the Avnei Nezer explained, because they were ultimately, it's a suffix whether she's going to end up getting married or not. Therefore, after all, Erusin doesn't always lead to Nisuin. Sometimes one of them dies, sometimes they get divorced. Therefore, that's reason enough to say B'dievet, even B'sivol, for even B'sivol to say B'dievet, that if she sold it, then it's valid. In this case, we don't really have a suffix over here. So therefore, we stick with what Rabbi Yosef is saying, that he had no right to sell it. And in fact, the halacha is like Rabbi Yosef, even though the Braisa that he tried to learn it from is not, we say, Einam Mishnah. So therefore, in the case that we had with the three brothers, therefore, when Shimon promised Levi, I'm going to give you half the property, he doesn't have to do that. And in fact, he can't do that because it's all Meshubin to the Ksuba. The only way it would work is, as if we said before, if they're not cutting him, then he could divorce her and then give to Levi. But he could, because once he does Yibam, he could divorce her and then he could remarry her if he wants. He still doesn't have that option. But other than that, then Levi doesn't have a case. So that's, we'll continue in the Gemara tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem, with a similar case where this time the third brother was smarter, having learned from this previous story, and then he wants things arranged that he'll actually be guaranteed to get those nechassim.
Now, if you give him and marry her, then that officer of marrying a brother falls away.
Right, so that's, we learned in Yevamos, actually. In fact, we said, in our mission, in fact, we said, and the Gemara is going to explain, we'll learn in the Gemara tomorrow, when it says, Harehi ki'ishtei l'chol dover, it means exactly that he can divorce her with a get, and he can remarry her as if she was a regular wife. We don't say that there's any left, there's nothing left of the Issur of Eishes Ach, right? Good. Okay. Good Yom Tov, everyone.
So it's 8:00 or 8:00.